Good day, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Harpreet Kapoor, the moderator of this call. Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Nucleus Software quarterly earnings conference call for the fourth quarter and year ended on March 31st, 2021. For the duration of the presentation, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode. We will open the floor for Q&A post the presentation. I would like to now hand over the proceedings to Ms. Swati Ahuja. Over to you, Swati.
Thanks, Harpreet. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Swati from Investor Relations team at Nucleus Software. A very warm welcome to all of you for this Nucleus Software earnings conference call for the fourth quarter and the year ended on March 31st, 2021. For discussion, we have here from the management team, Mr. Vishnu R. Dusad, our Managing Director, Mr. Parag Bhise, CEO, Mr. Anurag Mantri, Executive Director and CFO, Mr. Tapan Jayaswal, colleague from the finance team, Mrs. Prema Rajaraman, Vice President, Ms. Debyani Sinha, Global Head HR, and Mr. Ashish Khanna, Business Consultant, Financial Inclusion. As you all are aware, Nucleus Software does not provide any specific revenue earning guidance. Anything which is said during this call, which may reflect our outlook for the future or which may be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be reviewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. An audio and transcript of this call would be shortly available on the investor section of our website, www.nucleussoftware.com. With this, we are now ready to begin with the opening comments on the performance of the company for the quarter and the year ended on March 31st, 2021 from the MD. Post that, we would be available for the Q&A session. With this, I now pass it over to Vishnu, sir. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Swati, and good afternoon and a warm welcome to this investor call for Nucleus Software's quarter and year ending March 2021. Tough times and extremely tough situations that all of us are going through. I'd like to let you know that the financial year 2021 was not as bad financially as we had visualized it to be at the beginning of the year. However, the last couple of months have been rather tough in terms of number of COVID-19 cases. Our task force of more than 100 members was working round the clock to ensure that our colleagues and their family members who got infected got the best care that could have been arranged. It was a challenging year, but we were able to maintain our revenues. We are seeing a strong demand for our product offerings and believe that both product and services offerings, and believe that barring any unforeseen circumstances, we should do better this year. On that note, I now hand over to Parag Bhise, our CEO.
Thank you very much, Vishnu, for the opening address. Hello, everyone. A very good afternoon to you all, and welcome to this investor call. Hope everyone is safe, including their near and dear ones. We had a significantly tough last quarter, as Vishnu said, and also a challenging last year. Especially about the last quarter, the COVID second wave struck us badly, the way it struck the rest of the country. It was very unfortunate that we lost seven dear colleagues to this disease, and more than 450 Nucleites, as we call them, our associates, and their family members were severely impacted. While we think we are now out of the second wave, another problem that we are dealing with, which hit us in this quarter, around this quarter, was a severe rate of attrition, which I believe also is the industry trend due to the rigorous and speedy movement towards a digital economy, as well as high domestic demand due to increased offshoring work owing to travel restrictions. If this was not enough, very recently, just last Sunday, we were subject to a malware attack, about which most of you would now be aware of. The first two challenges mentioned do have a reflection on our quarterly results. Needless to mention that we are fighting back on all these fronts and hope to be soon back on our feet and running faster than before. Thank you very much.
Tapan sir, please
okay.
Take this lead as financial
thank
highlights.
Thank you, Parag. And yeah, oh, sure. Thank you, Swati. Thank you, Parag sir. And key highlights from financials are revenue. Our consolidated revenue for the quarter is at rupees 124.2 crores against rupees 124 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 138.2 crore year on year. For the year, it is rupees 513.5 crore against rupees 520.8 crore for the previous year. Overall revenue in foreign currency, including India rupee revenue, is US dollar 16.9 million for the quarter against US dollar 16.8 million quarter on quarter and US dollar 19.4 million year on year. For the year, it is US dollar 69.6 million against US dollar 73.8 million for the previous year. Product revenue for the quarter is at rupees 105 crore against 103.2 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 111.9 crore year on year. For the year, it is 430.2 crores against 414.3 crores for the previous year. Revenue from project and services for the quarter is at rupees 19.2 crore against rupees 20.8 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 26.3 crore year on year. For the year, it is rupees 83.4 crore against rupees 106.5 crore for the previous year. As for expenses, cost of delivery, including cost of product development for the quarter is 63.6% of revenue against 67% of revenue quarter on quarter and 60.9% of revenue year on year. In absolute terms, this is rupees 79 crore against 83.1 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 84.2 crore year on year. For the year, it is 332.7 crores against 343.8 crore for the previous year. As for marketing and sales expense for the quarter, it is 3.7% of revenue against 3.3% of revenue quarter on quarter and 5.2% year on year. In absolute terms, this is rupees 4.6 crores against rupees 4.0 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 7.2 crore year on year. For the year, they are at 15.5 crore against 34.9 crore for the previous year. As for general and administration expenses for the quarter, it is 7.3% of revenue against 8.7% of revenue quarter on quarter and 11.3% year on year. In absolute terms, this is rupees 9.1 crore against 10.8 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 15.6 crore year on year. For the year, they are at rupees 37.1 crore against 49.1 crore for the previous year. As for EBITDA, it is rupees 31.5 crore against 26.1 crore quarter on quarter and 31.2 crore year on year. For the year, EBITDA stands at rupees 128.1 crore against 93.1 crore in the previous year. Other income from investment and deposit is at rupees 6.7 crore against 9.2 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 8.7 crore year on year. Total other income for the quarter is at rupees 7.2 crore against rupees 10.3 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 10.3 crore year on year. For the year, other income from investment and deposit is at rupees 34.3 crore against 31.8 crore for the previous year. Total other income for the year is at rupees 39.6 crore against 37.2 crore for the previous year. Total taxes are at 8.2 crore against 8.1 crore quarter on quarter and 10 crore year on year. For the year, taxes are at 35.9 crore against 27.8 crore in the previous year. Net profit is at rupees 27.35 crore for the quarter against 24.8 crore quarter on quarter and 28.1 crore year on year. For the year, it is rupees 117.9 crore against 89 crore in the previous year. Other comprehensive income is at negative 1.5 crore for the quarter against positive 1.5 crore quarter on quarter and negative 6.4 crore year on year. For the year, it is rupees 1.9 crore against negative 7.5 crore in the previous year. Total comprehensive income, which includes net profit and other comprehensive income, is at rupees 25.9 crore for the quarter, against 26.3 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 21.7 crore year on year. For the year, it is at 119.9 crore against 81.5 crore in the previous year. As for EPS for the quarter, it is at 9.42 as against 8.55 in the previous quarter and 9.69 in March 20 quarter. For the year, it is rupees 40.62 against 30.64 in the previous year. In terms of foreign currency hedges, on March 31, 2021, we had USD $4.75 million of forward contracts at an average rate of 75.06. There is a mark-to-mark market gain of rupees 36.80 lakhs, which has been taken to hedging reserve in the balance sheet. As for revenue contribution from the top five client in the quarter is 27% as against 29% in the previous quarter. The order book position is rupees 477.9 crore, including rupees 450.5 crore of the product business and rupees 27.4 crore of project and services business. In December 31st, 2020, the order book position was rupees 460.6 crores, including rupees 428.3 crores of product business and rupees 32.3 crores of project and services business. As for cash and cash equivalent balances, as on 31st March 2021, it stands at 692 crores against 673.3 crores quarter on quarter. This includes balance in current account of rupees 32.3 crores, various schemes of mutual funds rupees 445.9 crore, rupees 43.8 crore in fixed maturity plans, fixed deposits of rupees 30.5 crores, investment in tax-free bonds of rupees 111.8 crore, rupees 27.7 crore in preference shares. With regards to receivables, we are at 85.7 crores against 90.2 crores previous year. During the quarter, there is a gross addition of fixed assets of rupees 0.96 crores, consisting primarily of 0.22 crores on plant and machinery, 0.15 crore on software, 0.41 crore on computer, and rupees 0.18 crore on furniture and fixtures. That's from the financial highlight perspective. Now I'll hand over to Swati.
Thank you, sir. With this, we are now open for the Q&A session. I will now hand it over to Harpreet. Over to you, Harpreet.
Thank you so much, Swati. With this, we will open the floor for Q&A interactive session. I would request all the investors, please press 0 and then 1 to unmute your line. I'll repeat, to ask a question, you need to press 0 and then 1. First question of the day we have from Deepan Shankar from Trustline TMS. Your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the opportunity and good evening, everyone. Firstly, wanted to understand, is the outlook for order book improving in Indian NBFC segment, and how is the order book outlook for Southeast Asia, Middle East and Australia?
I'm glad to let you know that, this is Vishnu, glad to let you know that outlook for product orders is, as I mentioned in my opening remarks, is looking good in all the geographies that you talked about, India, Southeast Asia, Middle East, and Australia.
Okay. And this other expenses has been more than 50% lower as compared to last year. So how much of this kind of cost savings is sustainable once normalcy returning?
What is likely to happen is depending upon how the offices, you know, work from home versus work in office, that combination as well as the travel required for implementations, travel required for business acquisition, sales, event participation, etc. It would vary. It would vary from this level to it may not go back to the earlier levels immediately,
But yes, you know, it will all depend on how soon things open up and so on and so forth. So we are not able to, you know, predict it with any accuracy, I must say. We have had our, you know, we've extended our office opening or working from office at least 4 times in the last 1 year. So it's very difficult to talk about it.
Okay. So what will be this impact on this malware attack? Is there any data leakage of customer data and things like that? So how was the customer reaction on that? So any financial impact on because of this?
Anurag, would you like to take that? I can talk about financial impact. As of now, we are still assessing. We do not visualize as at this moment, while we are still assessing, we do not visualize any you know, financial impact. But yes, our customers, justifiably so, are concerned. And I'll request Anurag to just make a comment on that part.
Sure. So we basically do not keep any customer data on any of our platforms and servers. None of the customer information is kept at our end, and that's why we are extremely confident that since the data doesn't reside at our end, there's no question about customer data being impacted. And we are also talking about we are in the process of assessing the financial impact. As per the investigations going on, we do not anticipate anything any impact so far.
Okay. And lastly, we have been talking about higher attrition for nuclear. So are we expecting some employee cost to increase in the future to arrest this attrition?
Yes, certainly. You know, board in yesterday's board meeting, the board had a close look at this particular aspect of the functioning. And indication is that the employee cost will increase.
Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
And go ahead. I see. Simranjit Singh Bhatia from Simply Global.
Yeah.
The line is unmuted.
Yeah. Thank you. My question is that in the Q4 your revenue from operations is, you know, very flattish when I you know, seeing from the Q3 point of view, and even in the Q3 of you know, last this financial year, you have stated that, you know, during your conference call that there is some, you know, delay from the customer side also. So I want to know your view, you know, going forward, how you are seeing this means in terms of the revenue generation in the next couple of quarters on the top line front.
I think we are, I would say even keel about it, in the sense that while we our discussions with most of our customers are on, some of them are signing up, but various events that are unfolding. You know, as we talked about intense, you know, number of COVID cases in the last 2 months, factors like this, they are you know, they are affecting us. They are affecting the entire economy. So it is difficult to talk about how the revenue would pan out in the next couple of quarters. We are optimistic. This is all I can say right
now. Okay. And my last question is that you have just stated that, you know, employee cost will increase in the next financial year. So can you give some guidance? What is the at least minimum percentage amount if we are seeing the employee cost as compared to the previous year from the FY20? It is going to increase?
As a policy, we do not give any guidance. So
okay.
I won't be able to talk about any specific number.
Sure, done. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Next, we have Alok from M3 Investments. Your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. This is Anuj Sharma. Vishnu, we had few questions on our business. One is, you know, earlier during the year, we were cautious on the NBFC segment, and rightly so. What is our outlook now in the NBFC segment and opportunities in the same?
I think the NBFC segment is going through a real, difficult period right now because of the economy, because of the moratoriums, and so on. And at the same time, there is enough of fintech activity also, which is wanting to leverage this opportunity. So yes, we are talking to number of NBFCs and fintechs who some of them have NBFC licenses also, and they are keen to start using our lending platform. And I think this is going through some of the conventional NBFCs. When they digitize themselves, then they are able to leverage the market. If they do not digitize, then they have to face intense competition. So that is how we are looking at NBFC segment.
Sure. And Vishnuji, my second question is in tough times, we see strong companies actually performing better. So, you know, we have strong client credentials. Did we manage to increase our market share? And what is our market share in Indian lending space?
Okay, we're making an attempt to, look at the market share with some precision. But we like to believe that as of now, we say somewhere around 70% of the India's retail loans, they are either originated or serviced or collected or all the three activities done on our platform. So that's the kind of market share we think we have.
Okay, and did we see some improvement in our market share in the last year, sir?
No. I have to admit that we have not done that activity with precision, and we are in the process of doing that.
Sure. And sir, my last question is, when we look across product industry, we have seen some players transitioning from a license model to transaction-based, and it has benefited them. So what is our reading of this transition, and where are we particularly in this transition from a licensed conventional model to more like a transaction-based model? Thank you so much.
Thanks for raising this important question. The entire cloud business that we have launched 4 years back is essentially transaction-based pricing. And as far as we are concerned, we are open to either of the models, and we would like to offer to all our customers both the ways of pricing, transaction based as well as the conventional on-prem license based pricing. And we are happy to let you know that even large customers are sometimes picking up the transaction based pricing model.
All right, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for your interest.
Next is Rahul Jain from Dolat Capital. Your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is about this order book. Why we are not seeing this order book traction not flowing into revenues? Is it more because the milestone related to revenues are very far versus we booking the orders? Is that the reason, or is a deal ramp up issue that we are facing?
I would like to say that it is more to do with orders being booked you know, for 3 years, 5 years period, especially cloud kind of orders and some other kind of orders, which take time to get converted into revenue. That is the only reason.
Okay, and this Bank of Sydney deal that we have announced, is this a significant deal that we have made this as a press release, and is it included in the current order book?
Yeah, it has been included in the current order book, and okay, sorry, I would like to validate that because we've announced it recently. I'm not too sure whether it came before 31st March or after 31st March.
It was announced on 17th May.
Yeah, that I'm aware, but the you know exact date of order, I don't remember right now. Okay.
Sure.
Now as far as you know deal size is concerned, we really don't talk about our deal sizes, so I won't be able to comment on that.
Yeah, I understand. The only reason is that this was a rare occasion when we made a press release, so I thought it must be of certain significance that gives it. And but coming back to your broad comment where you said you look this year to be a stronger year across markets. So what is driving that kind of a confidence? Is it the client conversation? Is it the culmination of order book into revenue, or any other factor you would like to share?
Okay, that's I would say both these factors, prospective client conversations, those give us that feeling that yes, this year would be better than the previous year, as well as the conversion of some of our orders into revenue, combination of both.
Okay, and on the transaction side, as it's been a couple of years, we are selling products on transaction base, and many of them are also live. So are we seeing that we are able to see uptick in our SaaS revenue on a client-to-client basis, because more and more books must be adding to this to our base from the same customer? So are we seeing like-for-like or customer-specific growth also because of the transactional nature?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question, Rahul. So the way it is happening is we have a situation where we have signed up with an NBFC, and for whatever reasons they've not been able to launch the business because of COVID, or most of them because of COVID. So those situations, the revenue either goes flat or sometimes in few cases they like to suspend that relationship. So that is one end. The other end of the spectrum is because the number of loans etc. are increasing, number of transactions with the same customers are increasing, so the revenues are going up.
Okay, so it's kind of a mixed bag. And the attrition element which we raised in our opening remarks, so where are we on that? Do you think we have a risk of lower implementation or any other element of the business getting affected just because we may find it difficult on the supply side? Or is it too early to impact the revenue, but it's a kind of a warning moment for us?
I would like to say, thank all my colleagues, 1,800 plus of them, for the phenomenal amount of effort that they are putting in to overcome the issue of, issue that has come because of the attrition. So despite the attrition, they are making sure that the client's commitments are not affected at all, despite the both attrition as well as COVID that they were going through. So despite that, client commitments have not been allowed to get affected, except for the fact that on 31st May, we were supposed to come out with a product release, our lending product release. That is something that we were left with no choice but to get it rescheduled to either 30th June or slightly beyond. We will come to know about it during this month. That apart, we have tried our level best to, and I have to once again thank my colleague for ensuring that despite the attrition, despite COVID, our client commitments are not allowed to get affected.
Okay, appreciate it. Just last suggestion or request from my side is that when we give our initial financial data which is shared by Tapan, instead of just reading that data, if we could just add one remark or anything like why a particular cost is higher or lower or anything which is worth mentioning in those line item, I think those that way it will become far more helpful for us to note down those things. Thank you.
That's a very meaningful suggestion, and we would certainly like to take it up next time onwards. And thank you very much for the suggestion and your continued interest.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Next is Himanshu Upadhyay from CGIM Mutual Fund. Your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. I have a few questions. The first one was, in the last quarterly con call, you mentioned that we are doing a lot of work on the sales improvement and sales related stuff, okay? And about our own resources also. Can elaborate on
that
word? You were doing a lot of work on the sales. Hello?
Yeah, sales, you said.
Hello?
Right?
Yeah, sales
yes, please,
effort.
Please.
And and you said that this has been going on for last few quarters. Can you elaborate on where we were and where we want to reach in terms of sales effort and sales what we want to achieve and where we are currently? So that I am a new investor or we are a new... So just can you elaborate on that? It would be helpful to understand what you are doing and where we want to reach.
All right. Thanks for raising this very meaningful question. Our effort when it comes to sales is ensuring that our prospective customers understand the value of the precious intellectual property that we have created. And that requires that our sales team understands the product extremely well. It is both our product lines are extremely rich, and likewise our services offerings are extremely rich. And unless prospective customers understand the value, they would not be able to derive that value from that. And that's where we struggle to make, use that word, unfortunately. We struggle to make our prospective customers understand how powerful our offerings are. And I can say that while we have been at it, we have reached a particular level, but I must admit that we are still not satisfied with our own ways of being able to convey the value that we continue to create. While our existing customers are enjoying that value, we get tremendous appreciation of that value. We still have some difficulty in communicating that value to our prospective customers. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that is fine. So I at least understand what the problem you are facing. Now the next would be, how are you trying to resolve this thing, and how much distance we have covered, And yeah, okay. So how do you make it more effective? So that would be the thing.
So the distance that how we are trying to resolve this is through the training that we the product training that we conduct for our sales teams. Experience that our sales team goes through, and based on that, then we are able to convey that value. I would say we have covered half the distance, and we have another half to cover on that front.
One last question on this side. Have we also brought in more people from outside on sales? Because this is just a feedback. And see, when you're of the your customers, when we meet them, okay, or let's say an NBFC, and even in their presentations and in their annual reports, they would tell very highly about you, okay? But, and so at least customers has a very high regards for your product. So on hiring also, are you trying to think of getting more practical people into the sales, or people who have used your product and who have been? So have you also made some changes on the sales people side also, or is it the same sales people you are trying to get more effectiveness out of the thing?
That's a very good question once again. That's a very good question, Himanshu. I think what we have tried over last few quarters is some of our colleagues who have been doing implementation, they have started moving into sales, and the experience has been pretty good so far. So that's what we will continue to explore, apart from our conventional lookout for sales people from outside.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. One more query if I can ask. So this question was, we have been a slow and steady grower, okay, over the years. And a lot of people who join IT industry are young professionals, okay? If the growth for the company is lower, the attrition would be always higher only, because new positions may not be created at that pace, okay? But the salary rise cannot be also at a very high pace. So does it worry you that if we are not able to grow faster on attrition and employee side, we will keep on facing challenges? The last one. Thank you from my side.
Thank you again for this insightful question. I think the way we are looking at this is, we are the people who join us. For them, the financial part is not the only thing for which they join. They do join us for the learning environment and also the impact that their work creates on the society. So with these two factors that come in, we are able to attract the right talent. The current phase of attrition, pretty high, is one-off, and we are making long-term changes to ensure that our attrition then in future remains low.
Okay. Thank you from my side.
Thank you much.
Before taking next question, I'll announce again. If you wish to ask a question, you need to press 0 and then 1. Next, we have Samar Singh from TPS Capital. Your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good afternoon. How are you?
My question was regarding this Australia, Bank of Sydney win for us. Is this our second sort of FinOne Neo order win in Australia? Is that right?
That is absolutely right.
Okay. And which was the first one? Which company was that?
I'm not too sure. We have as of now the permission to talk about it, the name, but the implementation is on. Parag, would you remember? We have the permission to make it public?
No, sir. I'm not very sure whether we have taken explicit.
Yeah. So we would rather hold ourselves back on that. the first customer is, of course, the Bank of Queensland in Brisbane.
Okay. So we won Bank of Queensland in, I think, 2016, if I'm not mistaken.
15 it was. Thanks for keeping close track.
So 2016, and then I think
we won the order slightly earlier, and then we started implementation in 15. Yeah, please go ahead. Yeah, you think something?
And then I think we had a Finaxia order win as well. That was in, I think, last year.
We do not have a Finaxia customer yet in Australia. No.
Okay. So I understand that the Australian market is, sort of a mature market with the banks means having sophisticated systems, and the conversion time, is longer than other markets. So, but we've been in this market for some time now. And I think, last win was 5 years ago, as far as FinOne New is concerned. So is that pace picking up now? And, the other part is, it gets into the previous question, which is how are we more effective with our sales? And, if we implemented something in 2015-16, and, I was listening to one of your interviews, and you were talking about how our product significantly decreases loan origination times for banks. So shouldn't we automatically be getting more inquiries and more conversions at a quicker pace in this market?
No, I quite agree with you. I think 16 to 19, that year, those 2 years or those 3 years have gone in getting the market to understand that this is a company which is worthy of their focus or their attention, and post that I think we are now looking at a steady stream of orders, some large, some small. That's how we look at Australian market.
So we won't have to wait for another 4 or 5 years for a win from Australia.
No, certainly not.
And on the origination side, what other software are banks in Australia using right now?
Sorry, on which side?
On the origination.
Okay, there are a couple of local tools that are available. I think once they start experiencing the power, they experience the power at Bank of Queensland, and that's how we got reference at our second customer, and at third customer they didn't even have to experience the power based on the first one itself. We were able to win that order. So I think we are looking at a steady stream now.
Okay. And, previous calls, we mentioned that, we're going to use this cash balance for entering new geographies. So have you sort of zeroed down on which is the next geography we want to focus on?
We are in that process. Still not taken the timeline decisions. We have identified geographies. We have not taken the timeline decisions as to when we will, in which year we'll go to the, let's say, US, and which year we'll go to Canada. Whether this financial year or next financial year, because of these uncertainties, is what I can say.
Okay, that's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
I'll repeat, participants, if you still have any questions, you may please press 0 and then 1. Next, we have Vaibhav from HNI Investments. Your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks a lot for providing the opportunity. So my question is again to Vishnu. Vishnu, see, the last year was the year of pandemic, and probably we are not going to see the pandemic nobody can predict it, but this is worst of the years in probably last century, and we did not lost cash in that year, right? Even in global financial crisis, we did not lose any cash during that year. So I wanted to ask you, when was the last year when we, on a yearly basis, we lost cash?
Why would you like to invest in a company which loses cash on a yearly basis?
No, I don't want to invest in those companies, but I want to know that what you're going to do with the cash that is sitting in, for what you're protecting that cash.
Right. So board is board is very much abreast of this question. We keep bringing it to the board notice every quarter. So I'm sure they will be taking some meaningful decisions.
I actually hope so. I hope you are not you are not imagining a nuclear world war. So I think rest to the business is doing really fine, and I really commend what the company has achieved over the years. But the capital allocation has to be fixed, and I think that is a big drag here.
No, couldn't agree more. And thank you very much for your kind words. We'll live up to your expectations.
Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. At this time, there are no further questions from the participants. So I would like to now hand over the floor back to Ms. Swati Ahuja for final remarks. Over to you, Swati.
Thank you, Preet. So we would like to thank all the investors for joining us today for this earnings conference call. I would now pass it over to Vishnu, sir, for his closing comment. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much to all of you for your keen interest and keeping close tab of your company. Please do maintain the same level of interest, and we would try to live up to your expectations. In the meanwhile, we would like to reiterate our commitment to build a company that lives on its values. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, all the speakers, for addressing the session, and thank you, participants, for your participation. Let us conclude our quarterly earnings conference call for the fourth quarter and year ended on 31st March 2021. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect now. Thank you and have a pleasant day.
Thank you.